Today's reading is from 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 7. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs." They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. The second reading is from the book of Acts for Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 24. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him."
Thing. It's good to be here, to be able to share with you. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you very, very much for praying with me, praying with us. As you know, I have cancer, and 4 weeks ago, a month ago, I needed to have my ear removed to remove the cancer, which was quite something, not the normal thing, but and the prognosis did not look good. The medical staff, friends, family thought that it would have spread throughout my body, or at least started to, but praise the Lord, there was no spreading of the cancer. And so we thank him, we give him all the thanks and praise, and we're so grateful for his wonders in this, in my body. So praise him and thank you. And the healing is going on, it's not yet healed, but, and you can keep praying for that, and that would be much appreciated. We do appreciate IBC here very much, also for support, for standing with us, and in the work that we're involved in the east of the Netherlands. And we say thank you for your involvement with us. It's wondrous also what God is doing. And this morning I would like to share just three things, and that is in relation to the wonders of God and what he's doing, and in relation to Pentecost and what he did 2,000 years ago and what he did 3,000 years ago, or some of the Old Testament in the story of Hezekiah, etc. I don't know if the slides are on or they're just about to come on anyway. Oh, I see it at the back. I was looking here. Very good. Thank you. Looking in the wrong direction. To be looking in the correct direction is so important. Yes. Oh, I need to press the correct button also. Ah, yes, the wonders of God. It's working, so that is a wonder in itself. The first thing I would like to share in relation to his wonders is, of course, what happened at Pentecost. I mean, not in the history of Israel, in the history of world, in the history of the world, had anything taken place such as on the day of Pentecost. And actually, nothing since has happened in the, what has happened in the day of Pentecost, although there's been the outworking of it, which is really wonderful. And we're here today as a result of what the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost. And we see, oh, I'm going the wrong way here. That looks better. The first thing we see on this day is that it was the first day of the church, in a way. It was a celebration, the beginning of the church. And it was the outworking of what the prophets had spoken about. It was the outworking of what Jesus had spoken about. It was the outworking of his life, his death, his resurrection. And after Jesus had gone to be with the Father on the Ascension Day, the disciples and others came to the upper room where they were actually staying, where they had been staying. And they came together waiting on the Lord, but they came together within the four walls of where they were. They were in many ways fearful. I mean, their leader had been executed, as it were, taken from them. They had, their leader was gone. What should they do? Where should they go? What was the next step? They did not know. And they devoted themselves to prayer together, fervent prayer, continuous prayer, day and night, for 10 days, of course. And they were busy in praying. And I'm sure that they thought a lot about what was written in the Old Testament as I was bringing it all before the Lord, the promises of hundreds of years before, what the prophet Joel wrote about, what other prophets had written about. They thought about the life of Jesus, the fact that he had been born, he had grown up, he called his disciples, he walked around with them, taught them, been a part of their lives. They'd seen many miracles. They were his hope for Israel. And they were expecting something different to what transpired. And as they waited on the Lord, I'm sure these things consolidated in their hearts and the value and the life of Jesus, but they didn't know where to go, what to do. Yet the wonders of God took place on the day of Pentecost, when they were together praying, sharing, and with the people, Peter got up and shared at what had taken place about the life of Jesus and the fact that they had crucified him. They had failed Jesus. He had done so much for them. Even the disciples ran away. They had left him. And as Peter said, you have crucified him. I mean, it was also the Pharisees. It was also the Romans, but the people themselves. And they were cut to the core with weeping, with agony of soul, I believe. And God touched them. And 3,000 people, the wonders took place, not just in the 120, but in the 3,000 took place in their lives. A miracle, wonderful, just what the prophet Joel had foretold in the book of Joel and in other parts of the scriptures, of course, we see that. I would like to share on these three points, a wall. We can see a wall there, a wall here, and to say something about a wall. Then waiting on God, as the disciples waited on God. And then God coming in and surprising in his way that he does, usually in an unexpected way. So there was another situation where Hezekiah, the story, the king that we just read about, he heard the message from Isaiah that as he was sick, that his life was over. He was 39 years of age. He'd been in ruling as a king for 14 years. He had done amazing things in bringing back the children of Israel, bringing them back to Israel after the previous king had set up idols all over the country, and after the children of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, they had gone astray. It was Hezekiah who brought the people back, who was able to bring the country to repentance. I mean, amazing. He did that. And he was 25 years of age when he started out as king. And people responded. The officials, the priests, the prophets, remarkable. But then he gets this news from Isaiah. This news from God. You are going to die. He didn't argue about it. His response is special, I believe. He turned to the wall. I mean, he didn't turn to his officers. He did not turn to his priests, other priests that might have given him a good news, as many kings in that time did. He didn't turn to the his officials or his army or his family. He turned his eyes to the Lord. What happens when we turn our eyes to the wall? I mean, we have a mobile, we have internet, we have books by the hundreds that we can read, we have people, friends that we can go to. When we receive such news, I mean, what do we do? We go to the Lord. And Hezekiah, he turned his eyes to the wall, to focus on the wall. Well, he prayed to the Lord. I believe that this was his habit. And that's why it's his immediate response. I mean, he didn't, in a sense, he feared for his life. But he went straight to the Lord, straight to the wall, straight, closed himself in, like Jesus said to his disciples, hide yourself away in a closet where no one can see you, by yourself, with the Lord. In a way, this is what the disciples were doing. They'd gone to the upper room. They were in the four walls of the upper room, hidden away, seeking the Lord in a time of crisis. Hezekiah turned to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. with weeping, with repentance. But he had been a good man. He had done many good things. He brought Israel back to the Lord. Judah, Jerusalem, the southern two kingdoms. And he had actually endeavoured to bring the northern kingdoms also. Some had responded, some not. So he had done an amazing thing. All his officials, all his army were with him in worshipping in the Lord. And then he gets sick and the Lord says to him, you are going to die. Ah! What did he do? He actually claimed the promises of God. He claimed the covenant that God had given him. In Deuteronomy, we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 14, where if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek me and acknowledge their sin, I will heal them. I will heal their land. He turned to the covenant. Okay, Lord God Almighty, the message, I'm going to die, but I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I've got nowhere else to go. No other reliable source for this news. Here I am. He lays it all before the Lord, repenting while he'd been a good man. He'd been a great king, but in repentance. And I mean, we all fail. He had sometimes also difficulties in his life, of course, and sometimes some things were not so appropriate, but he had served the Lord in the light of how King David had sought the Lord, with a soft heart, a heart that longed to please the Lord. He laid it all before the Lord. You know, sometimes, I don't know how you find it, sometimes we're in a crisis, and it's often a crisis that we need to bring us back to the Lord. I mean, in my crisis, I've certainly come back to the Lord. I mean, yeah, in whatever the crisis may be, in family, it might be in marriage, in work situation, in school, in education, in our status, in life here in the Netherlands, or the neighbours giving us trouble, or someone, or in the church. But here we see Hezekiah coming back to the Lord, seeking the Lord, and as he's waiting on the Lord, and in this case, the answer came very quickly. Before, as we read, before Isaiah could get out of the castle, before he'd left the king's palace, another message came from the Lord. I mean, sometimes we have to wait for years. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years. It's a fact. In this case, for the fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, hundreds of years before the fulfillment of the Lord, before the wonders take place. It doesn't matter to turn our eyes to the wall, to pray to the Lord. Lord, help me, touch me. What is your answer? And the message come to Isaiah, hey, go back to the king Hezekiah and tell him. He is going to live. You are going to live. I mean, Hezekiah, I must say, as I look at the passage, he had his doubts. I'm in this king, in this situation. I mean, God Almighty has said I'm going to die, and now he says I'm going to live. Two messages. And he says, hey, listen, please, Isaiah, I want some signs that I'm going to live. And so, lo and behold, doubting Hezekiah in this situation, God gives him some signs, which is another story in itself. It's nice when God gives us some signs, but sometimes there are no signs. So what do? Where do we go? To God. We keep holding on. We keep holding fast. And he delivers us by his grace, in his time, in his way, in his plan. Oh, Lord, we say. But, for Hezekiah, the kingdom was or his kingdom was actually saved from the Assyrians. The army was coming in, about to devour them. And they'd said, the king of Assyria had said, listen, no country in the whole area has actually been able to stop us from overtaking. And who do you think you are? Hezekiah, again, he went to the Lord. It's recorded in the chapters before, but it actually happened after this particular incident, as we read in other scriptures. And we see that the Lord sent a plague on the Assyrians, and many got sick, and they retreated, even though they were planning to take Judah and Jerusalem over at that time. And so the wonders took place in the life of Hezekiah, in the life of Jerusalem, Judea. It can also take, and it, I'm sure many of us have testimonies of, as it were, facing the wall, praying to God. And if we share them with one another, and I trust that we all have had them, if not, we can come to him and say, Lord, I have no other to go to. Really, I need you. Touch me, lead me, guide me. We see also in another situation, which we've just read about, where the children of Israel, really in a way, were facing the wall. Because this is 900 years before Christ, when they were in dire trouble. And there was another wall, a plague of grasshoppers, where in Joel chapter 2, 25, it says, I will restore the years that the locusts have taken away. I will restore the years the locusts have taken away. I will restore those years, the small locusts, the big locusts, the other locusts, the swarm of locusts, the swarm of grasshoppers, my army that I sent against you. My army, God Almighty's army, that he sent against Israel at that time. He allowed them to be there, to take everything, and to clean them up altogether. That is to clean up the whole vegetation. There was nothing left. I don't know if anyone's been in a plague of locusts. You have. Okay, they take everything, everything. I mean, all the vegetation, the bark from the trees even. The trees die, of course, because there's no bark, there's no sap flowing up. Every cabbage that might be in the garden, every carrot, every vegetation is gone. It's just like these buxus. I don't know if you know them, these little hedges that are here, there and everywhere. Last year when we looked out, some of them were stripped of all the green, all their leaves, and there was nothing left. Some survived, but many didn't. They took everything, everything. And these grasshoppers, I've only been on a part of a situation where the grasshoppers come in, and they take everything. I mean, you cannot believe it. If you've got it on your plate, they come in and they enjoy it faster than what you can. They were in trouble, the children of Israel at that time. And Joel says, listen, come to me, seek me, and I will restore you. I will restore the kingdom. I will give the young men visions, the young women visions. The older ones, us who are a bit older, we can have dreams. I'm sure it's a bit of both. Seek the Lord in the difficulties that we face, and he will help us, enable us. This is, of course, a picture in Africa. Even the animals are even attacked by these locusts, and everything is cleaned up. And so Nevertheless, the promises of God, the wondrous things can and do take place as we come back to him. We go to the wall. We wait on him with repentance, weeping, heartache for our shortcomings. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we know, and we fail. Nevertheless, the great thing is, the great promises are that he can bless and take us and lead us on. And we go from the walls of waiting to the wonders in our lives, in our personal life. I think one of my favorite scriptures is just simply the promise that Paul, writing to the Galatians, and the Galatians, they were a church that were in really deep trouble, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, God's fruit in our life. And that the Holy Spirit today, that's the mission. He comes and touches us and leads us. Do we know his Holy Spirit, the pouring out of his Holy Spirit in our life? If not, ask him to fill us with his Spirit, to empower us as he did with Peter and the disciples. They were fearful, locked away, as it were, hidden. But God's Holy Spirit touched their lives, and he gave them power to speak, to share, to pass the message on, so that they love to do it, love to share with others, love to share with their fellow disciples, fellow believers at that time. And so we discover afresh what the plan of God for us here on earth is. Being in his nature, being with his people. He wants to bless us. He wants to take us on. He wants to lead us in every way. And I trust that that is our experience as we face life, that we come to him. Sorry, Lord, but thank you, Lord, for your blessing in my life in every way, as I believe Hezekiah did at that time. Thank you, Lord, for what you have led me into, for how you have led, for how you have saved Jerusalem, Judea. But, Lord, I'm before you now. I have a new situation. Please intervene. And God did intervene, and they saw wonders. As in the day of Pentecost, the people said, "What shall we do?" Peter's response was very simple. Repent, be baptized, come to me, come to the Lord Jesus, and he will fill your lives. He will lead you on. And I trust that that is our experience, and that he leads us on in his way, in his time. We just pray for a moment.